Now another installment of your verbal fitness sessions, and today we are joined by Ronald Ebergees, a fitness and wellness expert. Ronald created My Personal Trainer for the large growing demand for alternatives to the gym. Now he knows his stuff and we're going to really test his knowledge today, so we welcome him now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ronald Ebergees.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for the invitation, and it's an absolute honor to be with you and the listeners today.
It's wonderful to have you, Ronald. It's been many years, I think about 12 years since we first met, and it's going to be a real testing time for you today, I can guarantee you that.
As they say, 12 years ago we said bring it on, and 12 years later we say bring it on.
Definitely. Now, our listeners have sent through questions over time, and so we're going to see what you know, Ronald, and we're going up with the first question. It goes like this: how effective is skipping as a cardio routine and weight loss method?
Okay, skipping is an amazing form of cardiovascular exercise because it also incorporates a certain amount of resistance. So what you do is, as you jump up in this rope goes under your feet, and as you land, you have to brace the impact with your knees, so the quadriceps or your thighs, the hamstrings and the buttock get a great workout. But the thing about skipping, because you're using the rope, you're using your upper body and your lower body, which is phenomenal, because with many other cardio exercises for weight loss, you run, you elliptical train, you only use the lower body. So skipping has a very high calorie output, allowing you to burn more calories and lose more weight in the long run.
Okay, the next one is a strange one. It says here, can you be a smoker and be fit at the same time? I have friends that smoke like chimneys yet can run 90 minutes in a game and play squash with no issues. How is this possible?
You know, this is very possible. You know, when you look at certain individuals, you know, and the different physiology, what does smoking actually do? Well, smoking affects, you would assume, the breathing capacity. However, you find that depending what people smoke, are they smoking hookah, are they smoking cigarettes, are they smoking, you know, those e-cigarettes, etc. Certain people's physiology allows them, yes, to push forward. But what they don't realize is this: is they might seem fitter, but over time, they will lose lung capacity, which means their breathing rate will become very, very shallow. So they will seem as being unfit. But when you put them into resistance training and other forms of exercise, they will struggle. But the risk of smoking is this. Smoking is the number one thing that every doctor, medical specialist, health specialist will tell you to stop doing, because it's not just about your lungs. It can cause cancer throughout the body. It's a toxin that you are consuming, and it's doing more harm to your body than good. So it is possible to be a smoker and be, in inverted commas, perceived fit, but bring the smokers this way. Let's show them what it's like to experience the body in the next 5 years if they carry on smoking, and I guarantee you 90% of them will stop.
All right, here's the next one. I'm unfit and need to start getting in shape. If I start, how long before results start showing?
Okay, when it comes to being unfit and they want to get results, it's an open-ended question. Do they want to just get fit, or do they want to actually lose weight, or tone up, or gain muscle? Let's assume they want to lose a bit of weight, because that's the majority of South Africans. And you look at that and you say to yourself, right, it'll take you on average, all right, within your body, your fitness will increase within the first 3 to 4 weeks. You'll feel stronger. You know, you might not necessarily see the massive kilogram loss if you are overweight, but you will begin to feel tighter and you will start to see centimeter loss. Within the first 8 weeks, the scale will begin to budge, provided you are eating correctly. And finally, within 10 weeks, you will be able to see some phenomenal changes if you exercise correctly with cardio and the right strength training routine, structured throughout the week for consistency purposes, and if you are eating healthy, not following a deprivational diet, but eating healthy, minimizing the amount of biryani, bajas, and kachis that you may be having, but you will see the results within 10 weeks phenomenally well, and so will others.
Okay, cool. Now, what is the next question, right? What is the minimum amount of time a person should spend on exercise a day?
And so you broke up then. What is the minimum amount of time a person
should spend on exercise a day?
Oh, minimum.
Yeah.
Here we look at different standards and norms. For the average person, they say you should exercise, and that's exercise, purely cardiovascular exercise, for at least 30 minutes a day, 30 to 45 minutes. That's the range that they utilize. And that incorporates walking in the mall, it incorporates walking up and down stairs, it incorporates playing with your kids, etc. And the reason they say that is because of the cardiovascular benefits thereof, looking after your heart health and your overall functioning and bodily system, making sure that if you're pre-diabetic or diabetic, you control your blood glucose levels, etc. But chasing to get real result, you've got to look at the consistency of exercise. So I would rather say, student one, exercise not for 45 minutes if you don't have it, exercise for 30 minutes a day or even 20 minutes a day at a medium to high intensity, but do it 5 days a week rather than 3 days a week. Because consistency with daily activity equals success in the body, just like our salah. Consistency with our salah equals success for us spiritually.
Just to add on to that, Ronald, how effective is walking? You see, nowadays, lots of people have started walking around. Is this a good start?
You know, walking is a phenomenal start. You know, you look back into our Nabi, peace be upon him. The Nabi was an active person. He walked. He was active. He did wrestling, swimming, archery, etc. So that is a key component. And the fundamental thing to get your body active and moving, if you have not done it for a long while, is walking. Walking be sustainable? Yes, it will. You will get results in the short term with walking, but then you will have to increase the intensity to challenge the body beyond certain thresholds, which means your body will adapt to walking. So then you have to walk up a hill. Then you have to slightly jog up a hill. Then you might have to walk, jog, then sprint. So it's always increasing your intensity. But walking is such a beautiful thing that our bodies are meant to do. And I suggest if you haven't exercised in a long while, put your walking sneakers on, get your friends together and take a nice walk up and down in a park, in your road, or just in and around your house area.
Yeah, you know, I tried walking once, but every time I try and walk, all of a sudden a huge crowd comes and walks with me. Then I realize that I'm a Liverpool fan, I never walk alone.
It depends, eh? For the last couple of years, it was difficult to not walk alone.
Definitely. Now, moving on to the next one, Ronald. He says here, how important is rest between gym sessions? I go every day and people say I'm overdoing it. Are they right or am I right?
Okay, when you come to heavy gym sessions, I'm talking about heavy gym sessions. When you're doing, and I assume that's resistance training or strength training, utilizing weight or body weight. When you do that, you create something called microfibric tears across the muscle group that you are exercising, which means the muscle gets slightly damaged, increases your metabolism to repair that muscle and build it and make it bigger and stronger, allowing you to burn more fat and be more toned. The secret to strength training is rest, because your body doesn't recover within a space of hours. It takes 24 hours, sometimes to 48 hours to recover. So I would suggest that this person train different body parts on different days. So if you do chest on a Monday, like bench presses and push-ups and those kinds of things, don't do chest on Tuesday or Wednesday, do it again on Thursday. So you're giving your body ample time to rest, recover, so that you can get maximal results with your gym workout.
Okay, I see a question has come in via the SMS system, the WhatsApp system. It says here, I'm 45 and been smoking all my life. Is it too late to stop? Will my body heal from all the harm of smoking for 45 years?
Never. If you've been smoking for 70 years and you're willing to stop, I would say stop. You will get benefits thereof. Number one, your taste buds will begin to change. We're able to taste food better. Number two, you have more energy. Number three is you would literally be able to breathe better. Number four, it'll assist in really increasing your overall metabolism and bodily functioning. And number four, and the list is endless across the different days and weeks into beginning to see changes. Has smoking damaged your lungs over the past years? Yes, it has. But it doesn't mean it cannot be not repaired, but doesn't mean you can't start doing something to live a healthier lifestyle. And I promise you, my brother, if you stop smoking today, you will add another 5 to 10 years onto your life in a healthy way. And that is a gift of Allah. And we can just say, you know what, we need to be conscious of our bodies and our health. And the reality is this is smoking is a toxin. So it's never too late to stop. And the one warning, Ijaz, I must tell to parents out there, you think that your children smoking these hookah pipes are healthy. It is more harmful to the child because they sit there smoking that pipe for 20 minutes to an hour and a half. And they're inhaling that smoke and that talk and that tobacco. And that is causing more damage than what cigarettes will do because of the duration thereof. Stop the smoking. Stop the hookah pipes.
Right. Now, next on, we move now. It says here, I am a gym fanatic but have a cold. Should I rest or should I run the flu out?
They're a gym fanatic and have a cold?
And should they rest or should they run the flu out? Like basically go to gym and try and work it out.
No, when you have a flu, you look at it in two ways. And I will give you this example. Is the flu head up or is it head down? For example, is it only in your head? You've got a bit of snot in the nose, you've got a bit of a headache, etc.? or is it in your throat and your chest? If it's in your chest, rest without exercising. Let me tell you why, because you will put your heart and your cardiorespiratory system, your heart and your lung system under too much pressure. And you could risk increase in blood pressure, hypertension, and possibly a heart concern or an issue. So you don't exercise. Rather rest for 2 or 3 days, take whatever medication you have or the herbal stuff, whatever works for you, and make sure that the chest is not phlegmy and lighter. If the flu is head up, then of course you may go in and do exercise, but decrease your intensity thereof, because you will feel lightheaded, and you just want to get better in the long run rather than do more damage to your body.
Okay, and the final one we have here, Ronald, it says, I have a shoulder injury. Should I continue training and lighten my load or stop until I've recovered?
You know, the shoulder is a very interesting thing. It's a phenomenally mobile joint. It's like a ball in a socket, you know, very much like the hip. So when you look at a shoulder injury, I have to ask the question, is it the front, back, or middle of the shoulder? If it's at the back, it's most likely the rotator cuff. There's particular exercises you can do for that. If it's the medial area or the middle area of the shoulder, we've got to be conscious of the pushing and the pulling exercises, and the front as well. So my advice to this person is that if it's a serious injury and you haven't gone to a physiotherapist or a biokineticist, my advice is go and get that type of a treatment first, because you have to rehabilitate that area if it's a serious injury. Open above the muscles, you've got tendons and ligaments in that area, and you don't want to damage that, which means you don't want to be able to pick up a shopping bag, and then there, boom, the shoulder gets pulled and popped. So get the proper advice, get the proper screening, understand what the injury means and what your limitations are, even though you might be using lighter weights, and biokineticists put together a rehab program for you to allow you to get that muscle or that area stronger so that you can get back to your normal weight training and rock and roll with your workout.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ronald, for shouldering the responsibility of entertaining our listeners this evening with your health and fitness expertise. We really appreciate your time this evening. And if people want to get hold of you, how do they?
You know, they can pop me an email, ronald@mypersonaltrainer.co.za. They can catch us on Twitter, Ronald Abergy. You retweeted the links earlier, or my URL. We are always there to help and give the right advice, so that we can make sure that they live a healthy lifestyle and look after their bodies in the right way.
Brilliant stuff. Jazakallah khair, Ronald Abergy, for joining us on Radio Islam International. You have a wonderful evening, a wonderful weekend, and take care, my brother.
Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, indeed, Ronald Abergy giving us lots of info there, lots of different aspects that listeners tend to ask when it comes to health and fitness. Jazakallah khair for sending those through. It's been a great help, and we hope that we've been able to help you in some way or the other in regards to your health and fitness needs.